the series that we started last week. I got two titles. I got the religious title, Getting to Know the Father, or my slang title from, this is from my CR folks, Who's Your Daddy? Who's Your Daddy? And I like that one the best because I'm kind of a CR kind of guy. Who's your daddy? Let's getting to know our Father God. And you know, I was thinking about this earlier. A lot of times, the Bible says that God lives in unapproachable light. In other words, there's no way that we as human beings could ever approach Him because He's unapproachable. So if He loves us, and we found that through the name of Jehovah that He does, then He is going to have to reveal Himself to us. We cannot reach out to Him. He reached out to us. And the only way that we're able to reach out to Him is in that He has reached out to us. And He's revealed Himself to us. He is not what we imagined that He is. A lot of times people, they have this own image in their mind of who God is. And that's been shaped by our environment. You know, if you were raised in an abusive home, your image of God is probably not good. Because a lot of times we see God the way that we see our parents. Well, what if you didn't have a father? Then you have a very difficult time in relating to the Father. There's a lot of churches that teach that God is mad, that He's angry. And for some reason, I used to think that God was mad and He was looking for an excuse to mash me like a bug. Well, guess what? If God wanted to mash us like a bug, He could find an excuse to do it because we give Him plenty. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. We do. We give Him plenty. In fact, if God was mad when Adam and Eve sinned, why didn't He just destroy them? And we found out through the name that He has given us that we can understand Him, that His name is Jehovah, that is a relational name. So He was first revealed as Elohim, the creative God, the judicial God, the God of who sets in place law and judgments. But He wanted to be known as Jehovah. In fact, Jehovah describes the essence of who God is. Many of the other names describe what He does. But Jehovah describes who He is. He is the eternal, ever-loving God who wants to be in a covenant relationship with people. So that's the name that we looked at last week was Jehovah. But we have a concept in our minds that has been shaped by so many things. Wrong teaching, wrong upbringing, so many different things. And it's hard to conceive of something that you can't see with your physical eyes. So the only way that we can get to know Him is through what He has revealed to us so that we can know Him better. And if you don't have a good image of God, if you don't have a proper image of God, I mean, have you ever met this, you know, I'm talking like a guy now, this good-looking girl, and you think, whoo, she's awesome. And you get to know her and she's not too awesome. Or this happens a whole lot. You see somebody and you think, I don't know if I like them or not. But you get to know them and they're sweethearts. See, we have first impressions sometimes and we judge things wrongly. And many times we form our opinions, our religious opinions about God through a myriad of things that are just not accurate. See, God is not who you create Him to be. That would be an idol. One of the commandments is that you shall not make unto me any graven images. In other words, you don't carve out little gods and worship them. But what we have a tendency to do is carve out in our imagination what we think God is like and worship that. That's the reason that in so many places we don't see any power of God. Because we don't really understand who He is and what He's like. And what we want to do is through His names, and that's how He's revealed Himself, is through His names. Dale Cohen told me that God has over 70 names in the Bible. Only one describes His essence. The others describe His actions. when we get to know Jehovah, the essence, the eternal, self-existing, ever-loving God, the covenant God, then we begin to look at His other names and we see that we have a relationship with Him and what He does and what He wants to do in our lives. So today we're going to look at some names of God that have to do with relationship, because Jehovah God is a relational God. He's a God of covenant. And He's covenant because He wanted to be. He's covenant because He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave. And that's the essence of the gospel. That's not just about Jesus. That's about the Father God. That's about your daddy. In fact, you say, well, you're being disrespectful when you call Him daddy. You know what the term Abba means? It's a very intimate term for Papa or Daddy. He is our Daddy God. You can have an intimate relationship with Him, but we'll get to that later. So as we begin to look at this, we're going to look at several names today, and they're all what I call the relationship names. Now, what we like to get happy about is the ones where we get the benefits from. And we get benefits from all of them, but we like those things where we say, you know what? God will pay your electric bill. God will heal your body. You know, God will meet your need. You know, we like those kind of things. But you know, most of those things are temporary. And they fade and go away. But there are things about God's name that describes things about Him that are eternal and will change you forever. In fact, this relational thing that we're doing today has to do more with who He is and how He impacts your life and how He sees you, how it will change you throughout eternity. And that's what I want. I want to be like Him. See, one thing I found out about Him, that He is faithful. And when I get into a relationship with Him and I relate to Him, you know what He does? He molds me into like He is, and I become what? Faithful. It's a natural thing. It's a natural thing. So what, and we'll get to that in the last point. But the first name that we want to look at today, and I'm going to pronounce the name, it's not pronounced right because I can't speak Hebrew. I can, and you know, even Jehovah's not the right name. They don't know what it is because it's YHWH. And there's no vowels in Hebrew. So they wouldn't say the name anyway because it was a holy name. And if they said it, they thought they would forfeit their place in the world to come. So it's the unspoken name. It's the unwritten name. It's the terrible name. So we really don't know how to say it. And they have come up with Jehovah, and that's kind of what we use. But I'm going to pronounce these names, and these are not the right pronunciations. But the first thing that we want to talk about today is called Jehovah Sabaoth. Not Sabbath, but Sabaoth. In fact, two times in the New Testament, Romans 9:29, and in James 5:4, it calls Him the Lord of hosts. And that's what Jehovah to Sabaoth is host, the Lord of hosts. Now this is a very, this is a big name. This is a relational name. This is the name that establishes Him as the sovereign, powerful God. He is Lord of hosts. We sing this song, and this is I love this song. It's not the most kicking song that we do, but it's one of the most scriptural songs that we do. And this name, Jehovah to Sabaoth, reminds me of this song. But listen to these lyrics here, and it's called "You Are God Alone." You're not a God created by human hands. You're not a God dependent on any mortal man. You're not a God in need of anything we can give. By your plan, that's just the way it is. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good time and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Then it goes into the chorus over and over. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. See, that describes this name that we're talking about, Lord of Hosts. He is Lord of Hosts. Now this is, even though this is a powerful name, it's still coupled in the name of Jehovah, which is the eternal, ever-loving God. And He is Lord of Hosts. This is how He rules His kingdom. He rules it by His nature. And the New Testament tells us that God is what? Four-letter word. L-O-V-E. Let's say that together. God is love. Say that again. God is love. That's how He rules His kingdom. And sometimes we wonder about that because we see some things that happen. But He is Jehovah of Hosts. He is Lord of Hosts. Now, I want to get into this in Psalms 46:7, if you need a scripture. It says, "The Lord of Hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Now notice how it talks about Him being Lord of Hosts and Him being a refuge. What's a refuge? A refuge is a place where you run to and find safety. It's a place that you run to and find cover. And that's the way we need to see God. See, one thing that I have noticed about human beings, usually when we mess up, usually when we screw up, can I get a witness? Do we ever do that? What do? We have a tendency to run away from God, but His name, Jehovah, Lord of Hosts, has the idea that He is our refuge. He's a place that we need to run to. Can I say this? I'm going to say it. God is not your problem. God is not your enemy. God is always your solution. He's always the one that is there to receive you no matter where you've been, what you've done. It doesn't matter. He's already paid the price. It's already there. Quit running from Him and start running to Him. So He's our refuge. This is the picture that this gives. Now, when we talk about hosts, let's talk about several things. Number one, He is Lord of the angelic host. You know, God has got an innumerable company of angels that He has created. And the Bible says that angels are ministering spirits. They have an assignment. And most of their assignment has to do to you. Now, let me give you a theology point here. Can I do this? Angels, when you die, you don't become an angel. If you're not an angel here, you're not going to be an angel there. And I don't see any angels in the house today, okay? You know, you've heard people say, you know, a little child dies, well, God needed an angel in heaven. We don't become angels. Angels are created beings by God and they're ministering spirits. You are human. You will always be a human being. Angels are jealous of what we have. There's some things that angels don't even get to look in to what we know and what we have. Their assignment, Hebrews tells us, that they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those, for those who are heirs of salvation. We're heirs of salvation. Those ministering spirits have been dispatched by heaven to minister to us. In fact, the Bible talks about that we have, I guess individually, that we have angels that are in the presence of God for us, and that we have angels who are with us in life. Always love the little story. little boy afraid of the dark. I can just see two little boys afraid of the dark. Mama comes in and says, "Now listen, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Jesus and His angels are with you." So she turns out the light, kisses him goodnight, covers him up. He's looking out from under the covers, looking around, thinking, or says this. Said, "Jesus and angels, I know you're here, but don't move. You'll scare me to death." The angels are with us. The angels are with us. You have ministering spirits. He is the Lord of hosts. He is Lord of the angelic host. And number two, He is Lord of the stellar host. Now, not all of this has to do with beings. Have you ever looked up at the sky and tried to number the stars? God challenged Abram. He brought him out. He says, "I want you to look at the sky," and says, "Tell me the number if you can." And he looked up. There's no way that we can number what we can see. And science tells us that there's a whole lot more out there than what we can see with the naked eye. And He is Lord of the stellar host. He designed... They say that there are millions of galaxies. And each of those have many, many stars and bodies in them. And He is Lord of every one of those. You say, is there life on other planets? The only other place I know where there's life is heaven. I don't know about that. I don't want to get into that. But He set each one of those in its orbit. He defined and limited its orbit. He set it in course. And He's Lord of the stellar host. I'm trying to show you how big your God is. We have a peanut image of what our God is like. Okay? The third one is that He is Lord of the feathered host. The fourth one, He is Lord of the animal host. He defined and designed every feathered host, every animal host. He designed it all. He set in place the course of nature and how it works. And it works that way because He is Lord of hosts. Then He's Lord of human hosts. He made you. He designed you. He put purpose in you. He put eternity in you. You're designed by Him. You're designed for Him. The Bible says everything exists by Him and for Him. He's Lord of that host. Let me tell you something. When it's all said and done, whatever He has decreed, we will never change. We will not change or alter the rapture of the church. We will not change or alter the white throne judgment. We can't do anything to make it come faster or slower. Those are things that are by His design. And He is Lord of that realm. The only thing that we have any choices in is the things that He has given us choices. He gives us the power to choose. You can accept or reject Him. You've given that power. You'll live with the consequences of those choices. But He is Lord of human host. Then the last one, I like this one a whole lot. He is even Lord of satanic host. In other words, there's no power of the enemy that can contend with His power. See, some people's theology is that here you got God up here and He's powerful, and right under Him, just a little bit lower, you got the devil. And he's almost as powerful as God. And they're in a war with each other. Baloney! There is no comparison in the power of God and in the power of evil. You said, "Well, there's a lot of evil around." Yes, I know that, and that's another series. But it cannot contend with the power of God. He is Lord of the demonic host. And see, there's an insight that He gave us. And this is a misquoted scripture. I get mad when people misquote this. You ever heard this one? "Well, God won't put on you more what you can bear." That's not what that says. I get mad when I say it. You know, the Bible says that God cannot be tempted with evil. And He doesn't tempt any man with evil. It says, "But we are tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed." God is not the one doing evil to people. People do evil to people. Sowing and reaping, you know, the stupid decisions that we make sometimes causes evil. But even, and sometimes it's demonic attack. But even in that, here's what that scripture says. God will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. But with the temptation will provide a way of escape. He didn't put it on you. He didn't put it on you. And He has limited the enemy to what he can do. Remember the story of Job in the Old Testament? Satan had an input with Job through fear, and God put the limits on him. He says, okay, you can do this. You can touch his body, but you can't take his life. He limited him. Satan is limited. Jehovah is limitless. He is Lord of hosts. Amen. The second name I want us to look at today, and I'll say this one time, it's Jehovah Eloheinu, the Lord our God. Now we're getting into the relationship aspect. We're honing it down. He's Lord of hosts. But you know what? He is the Lord our God. I love this church. I love the diversity that's in this church. We have people who have been raised in church. Oh, how many people have been raised in church all your life? See your hands. Look here. These are church people that have been raised. Then we have people who have been heathens. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Maybe you were not raised in church. Okay? We got people of all different economic, socioeconomic levels, educational levels. We have a wonderful diversity in this church. And there's many of us that do not have things in common with some people. I've never, and I'm not bragging. I got sins, and I'm not confessing them. So don't ask me. But I've never been drunk in my life. I've never smoked pot. I've never taken illegal drugs. So I don't have a commonality with people who do with that. But since He is the Lord our God, I needed the same redemption that the people who did all of those things does. And I'm not better than they are because I haven't done that. Because I've got my list of sins over here that's just as bad as that list of sins over there. And the common thing that we have is, it's Jehovah is our God. Well, I've been in church. You seen churches like that, people like that? Some guy comes in and he's got tattoos all over him, got his neck cut and tattooed, sewn up, and got tattoos on his head and 666 and a half on his neck, and they ask him to leave. I don't want to be around those kind of Christians. I don't have any tattoos, but if the blood hadn't cleansed me, you could see my stains because they're just as bad. I didn't say tattoos were bad. Just, you know what I mean. That's the way we judge things. Or maybe I haven't done all that bad. I'm a pretty good guy. And here's this guy that hadn't been. Hey, I have to be redeemed by the same blood. He's the Lord our God. That's one of His redemptive names. But it's also a name that has to do with relationship. It is the thing that ties us together. One thing I love about this church, and I always want it to stay this way, is that we love each other. And when we come to the communion table, we come together because of the blood that has redeemed us all, and nobody has a right to look up or down to nobody because of their past. We say this all the time. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. What's important is where are you going now? That's the important thing. Your past is irrelevant. Your future is what's important. You can't do anything about your past except redeem it with the blood and allow God to turn it around. Man, I need another hour. I better not. Whoa. So He is the Lord our God. And Psalms 99:5 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Isn't it amazing when it talks about the Lord our God, the next phrase talks about worship? The natural thing for a community of believers to do is worship. Because we have so much to be thankful for. I was frustrated Wednesday night. We've had sound problems. We've worked on it for days and days and days. I was not prepared to do anything Wednesday night. So we had a Thanksgiving service. And we allowed people to praise God for what they were thankful for. It was the most refreshing service I've been in a long time. There's something about when God's people come together and they worship, whether it's through singing or it's expressing gratitude and praise to God for His blessings. There's something dynamic about it. He's the Lord our God. He belongs to us. Wow. I like that. The next name is the name Jehovah Elohika. Yeah. The Lord thy God. So He is the Lord of hosts, He is the Lord our God, and He is the Lord thy God. Now listen to this, because here's the scripture. It's found in Exodus. Write this down, you can look at it later. Exodus 20, verse 2 and 3. And this is God talking, this is Jehovah talking. He says, I am Jehovah Elohika. I am the Lord thy God. You know what we said a while ago in that last name? We said, He is the Lord our God. But you know what He said? He says, I am the Lord thy God. We accept Him, but you know what? This is bigger than us accepting Him. He accepts us. Are you worthy of being accepted? Are you worthy? Have you been good enough to be accepted? No. But He accepted us. He accepted us. He says, I am the Lord thy God. He was talking to Israel, His covenant people. I am the Lord thy God. He could say it today to the church. I am the Lord thy God. You've accepted me. I've accepted you. Sounds like a covenant, doesn't it? Sounds like us coming together in a relationship. I am the Lord thy God. Okay. Let's do two more. Jehovah Elohei. And we see He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord our God. He's the Lord thy God. And here's one I like. He's the Lord my God. My God. I can look at Him and say, my God. He belongs to me. It's that personal. You know, I love it when I'm by myself. Maybe wake up in the morning real early. No sound going on around. And I can open my heart up and I can say, my God, we're in this circle together. Remember circles? We talked about circles. That most important relationship is me and my God. And I can allow everything else to flow out of that. And it can be such life-changing. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord our God. He says, I am the Lord thy God. But now He is the Lord my God. It's a personal thing. See, you're not a Christian because you come to church. You're a Christian because you have made Him your God. It's a personal thing. It's not a family thing. It's a personal thing. When we go before God on the judgment day, it'll not be as a church. It'll be you and Him. And you can look at Him and say, Jehovah, my God. And He'll look at you and say, call your name and say, my child. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. And He wanted Israel to understand that He was our personal God. Now, can we just make Him our personal God and exclude all this other stuff? No. The very thing that He does is when He becomes your God, He's also a lot of other people's God. And then He is the Lord our God. It's our commonality. It's our connection. See, anytime that we're connected with God, immediately He connects us with people. That is His design. God cares about people. Now, the last one that we want to talk about today, then we're going to have prayer time. is the name Jehovah Hosanu, the Lord our Maker. Listen to Psalms 95:6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now, it didn't say Creator there. That's not the creative name of God. Elohim is the creative name of God. This name, the Maker, talks about something that already exists that He takes and makes it into something. You know what? When you come to God, you don't come to Him complete, do you? You're a mess. I mean, does anybody witness to that? We're a mess when we come to God. Our lives are out of tune, out of sort, spirit, soul, and body, messed up. Let me tell you, when you know you've gone to a religious church, it's when they get up and say, what you need to do is straighten up and come to God. Listen, if you could straighten up, you wouldn't need God. We can't straighten ourselves up. We're messed up. We're flawed by sin. We're flawed by Adam's sin. We're flawed by our own dumb choices and our own sin. But when we come to Him, not only does He become our God, He becomes our Maker. And He starts a process in our life where He begins to mold us as we let Him mold us and make us into what He has designed us to be. You can resist it if you want to, or you can let Him do it. And you know what? It'll be amazing how much you look and reflect your Maker. Like I said a while ago, He's faithful. When you become like Him, you'll take on His attributes. You'll take on His character. You know, they called the early Christians, and it was a mocking term, they called them Christians. We say Christian today, and that's a badge of honor. In that day, it was not a badge of honor. You're just like Jesus. You're a Christian. Christ-like. A lot of instances you can look at Christians today, they have no resemblance to Christ whatsoever. But when we come in contact with the Lord our Maker and we allow Him to do His work, guess what He'll do? He'll make us like our Savior. He'll make us look like Jesus. See, Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Jesus came to model and show us the way of what we're supposed to be like. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Come and let us bow before the Lord our Maker. Let us worship at His footstool. Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come, our musicians, and we're going to have prayer time. If you're here and maybe you don't know Christ, maybe you're not a believer, that's not a bad place to be. It's just a bad place to stay. You can know Him today. It's not hard. He's paid the way. It doesn't cost you anything to get saved. It doesn't cost you a thing. You just got to believe in Him. We got those who can pray with you. Maybe you've been disconnected from God and you need to reconnect. We call it, rededicating your life, whatever you want to call it. But you've been out of sorts and you need to get back with God. They'll pray with you. Maybe you've got other concerns, physical concerns, spiritual concerns. Maybe you're going through a hard time and you just need somebody to love on you and cry with you. Come, and we got those who'll pray with you today. Let's pray. Father God, as I pray, You come. Father God, in Jesus' name, look at our hearts. See what we need, Lord. May Your Holy Spirit deal with us where these things are concerned. We bless You and we thank You today for Your love, that You are the relational Jehovah, Lord of hosts, the Lord our God, the Lord thy God, the Lord our God, and the Lord our Maker. May we see You more clearly. May we experience You more fully. Today I pray in Jesus' name. Would You come? Come, they'll be glad to pray.
Can we stand and worship as these come forward?